Bible Beaters. Welcome to another episode of the Bible Beater Podcast. This is your host, Caleb Campbell, joined as always by the interrupter, Kyle Vester. How's it going anyways, Kyle?
I'm good. How's it going, Caleb?
I'm barely alive. I barely
you look like shit.
Another Armstrong Metal Festival, and I am, I don't know, I almost called in sick today, but we had to do it because you're going on your stupid trip. So here I am.
Mm-hmm. I'm like just, a champ.
I'm just going to be.
Looks like shit. Sounds like shit.
Reading. That's it. I got no jokes. The festival was pretty fun, though.
You have to laugh at my jokes, though.
Oh, I mean, I'll try my hardest.
Yes, you got fucked up all weekend?
Yeah, we did. Well, I missed a Friday night because I was hosting. And then
you missed the Friday?
Yeah, I went down Saturday morning.
So is it a 3-day festival?
It's a Friday Saturday festival.
So you only got fucked up for one day and you're this bad?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, no, on the way home we tried to watch the World Cup Sunday morning, and by tried, I mean we missed the game. Like, we got there right when it ended.
Really?
I threw open the doors of the pub. I was like, I'm here to drink whiskey and watch the French lose, and everyone just started laughing at me. I was like, what's going on?
Because they just won.
Yeah, they're just like celebrating. I guess we got the time wrong. And then we floated down the Enderby Canal.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah. And I fell asleep on my thing and I woke up. I was like,
brutally sunburned?
Well, no. I floated into a big log jam and flipped over and
oh, that's safe.
Nearly drowning.
Good. Still getting drunk on the...
Oh, yeah, that's what happened. And then today, I was just like, I've just been sweating and wanting to die.
And shaking.
And shaking all morning. So I'm having a ginger ale. Hey, guys, I'm going to... We'll see how long we can stay off on the wagon.
On the wagon?
Is it on or off the wagon?
On the wagon, if you're not drinking.
Whatever, I'm going to get on that wagon.
And we'll give you regular updates.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he doesn't make it till next podcast.
Dude, the thing is, as soon as you don't drink for a week... It feels like it's been so long. You're like, wow, I've really done
good.
What
an accomplishment.
It must have been at least. And then you're like, oh, man, it's been 5 days. I haven't made it through one weekend yet. But I feel like I can make it to the end of July.
You think so?
I might even start exercising. Who knows? I might turn my whole life around.
You know what? Exercising does make you feel better. Dude, you could do it with exercise. If you do it with no other replacements, I don't have any faith in you.
Have some salad.
You won't make any friends, though.
Yeah.
Now with salad.
You can make friends eating salad.
You don't make friends with salad. Simpson said it.
Should we get into it, Kyle?
Nah, do you see any cool t-shirts?
There was some good ones. There wasn't. There was a lot of Armstrong. I thought this was a metal festival shirts. One guy had a shirt with Trump blowing his own brains out.
That's a good one.
That was my favorite one, I think. It was municipal waste.
At least it's offensive, but he's thinking the right way, you know?
Yeah. It was line. It was real graphic.
It'd be more graphic if it was Hillary blowing her fucking brains out. Yeah. That would be the most offensive shirt. Not Trump. Everyone hates Trump already.
Yeah, but it was, it's the
it's great.
The president blowing his brains out. Nothing too crazy, actually. The one guy.
How's that possible?
Well, I guess they weren't as bad as the ones that we saw in L.A. last week. Nothing's worse than that Eat, Sleep, Rape shirt.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's a fucking hilarious shirt. But that's brutal, but
it was
funny.
Fun. It was super fun. Gatekeeper was probably my favorite. They were over the top cheese.
So no shit went down? Did you get in the pit? You get your elbows up?
I did not really go in the mosh pit very much. Because it wasn't very moshy. I did.
God, who are you now?
I was
no crazy shit happened?
Some crazy shit happened, but I don't really
want to talk about it.
Talk about it. Okay. Maybe check out Darb Nation's YouTube channel. I think it's on there.
How do you spell that?
D-A-R-B Nation.
Darb Nation.
Darb Nation. I almost got a
I don't even
Darb
know what
Nation
the fuck you're talking about.
He's just this weird guy, and he yells his own name like Geronimo. Darb Nation! Darb Nation, and
he jumps off a fucking building.
Shit. Yeah, he does dumb shit, and his friend Mike follows him around with his phone, and they have no one that watches their YouTube channel. It's actually the guy's freaking hilarious. The wrestling was cool,
but it's not taking off.
Mad Dog Marty,
Mad Dog was out there.
Yeah, he was hilarious. I was yelling, "Put the dog down! Put the dog down!" He's a
That's
mad
funny.
Dog.
That's a good heckle.
And then he's like, he came up to me. He's like, Kyle Patton's funnier than you. And I was like, no, get out of here, buddy. I loved it. It was super fun.
You know why he says that to people now? Because he said to Andrew Crone once, and Andrew Crone like flipped the fuck out. Another comic.
Actually?
Oh, he got so upset. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And Matt and Marty was like, oh, that's the thing now we say. I can say to get someone mad.
Because Kyle sucks.
Yeah, fuck you, Ben.
All right, let's get into it, man. Last week, we heard about the anointing oil, the incense, Aaron's basin for washing, and the atonement money, which every Israelite has to pay for his life.
I'm going to start a new, I'm going to pretend to be God.
Yeah.
Round up some Jews and make them pay me money so I don't murder them.
Yeah.
Call myself God. No one's ever done that.
I mean, you could try it. So we are in Exodus chapter 30. Verse 22, this is about anointing oil. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices. 500
spices or fine?
Fine. Did I
okay.
say five?
No, you didn't.
Take the following fine spices. 500 shekels, that's about 12 and a half pounds.
That's a weight?
Yeah.
A shekel's a weight?
Yeah. Yeah, a shekel of silver is...
Get the fuck out of here. I thought it was a thing.
Well, that's what it says.
It's a currency. Well, no, I guess it's a, maybe it's both.
Well, you got the English pound.
That's true.
That's a currency. 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much. That is 250 shekels. Thanks. I couldn't do the math.
God thinks you're a moron.
Half as much of
He thinks everyone reading this book is
cinnamon,
dumb as fuck.
250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel. And
how many of these things still exist?
All
like,
that
what the
stuff
fuck are, what are they?
Myrrh
fragrant is, cane? Is that sugar cane? Probably not.
It says fragrant cane. I probably some sort of it's got to be some sort of
perfume.
Spice they used. You could probably look it up right there on your computer.
Yeah, but
500
You're supposed to have the answers.
I don't have the answers for this,
You're
Kyle.
Supposed to.
Kyle, I'm just
supposed to have all the answers.
All I'm doing today is reading, okay? We're just getting through this.
No, you're my God. You're supposed to have my answers.
500 shekels of cassia, all according to
what
the sanctuary.
What the fuck is cassia?
It's another thing. I don't know. It probably smells like something.
They were really, I guess, I was just about to say, it's so fucking stupid how all the most expensive stuff just smells good.
Yeah.
But then I just realized how bad everyone must fucking smell.
Yeah, they must have stank.
So if you can afford to like give your wife perfume, oh my God, you're like a millionaire.
There's a great book entitled Perfume. And it starts out talking about how bad everything stank in Paris in the 1600s or whenever they wrote it.
Really?
Yeah. That book is awesome. It's got the most it's the most fucked up book I ever read, probably.
Really? That sounds cool because I heard Paris. I always hear these stories of Paris smelling like piss and BO all the time.
It's about a murderer. I was like, I always ask the people at bookstores, I'm like, what do you like or what do you wish more people
That's
read?
That's a good,
and
cool
she
thing
was
to
like,
do.
She's like, here, this one's, and I'm like, and it's got like some chick on the cover. It's like pink, and it's called Perfume. I'm like, nah, it's not really my style. She's like, trust me. And I was like,
trust me, it's okay. Your style. And I've looked you up and down, and I know what you're into.
Yeah. No, it was totally, it's about this guy that has like a superhuman sense of smell. Like he can smell like better than a dog, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets obsessed with women and turns them into perfumes. It's
pretty, holy fuck.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good.
He's a serial perfumist?
Yeah. So back to the Bible here. To 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin, which is about 4 liters, a hin of olive oil. Make these into anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. Again, don't get some...
I was wrong. I said perfumist. What an asshole I am.
Don't get some regular Joe just stirring this in a bowl. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of testimony.
The tent of meeting.
And the table and all its articles.
Oh, the table doesn't have a name? Doesn't get a cool name?
The lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. Cool. Magic holy oil.
What is it? What does making it holy signify, though? What does it do?
Well, it smells
like. What
nice.
Does it do for them?
God says it makes it holy, so it makes it holy.
I don't, yeah, but what does holy do?
Holy just means God will touch it. God will.
So what does that do, though, for humanity?
It doesn't do anything.
It does nothing?
I mean, it does.
It's pure symbolism.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pure God likes this now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's approval.
Yeah, that's.
That's fucking retarded.
Yeah.
That's what making something holy is?
Yeah.
It's just God's approval.
Yeah.
And he told him to do it. Yeah. So he, oh, cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
It. That's it.
There's so what's holy water?
It's just, it's regular, stupid-ass water.
Yeah, but you know how, like, the crackers are his flesh
yeah.
and the wine's his blood?
Yeah.
Are you telling me holy water's nothing?
Holy water is
just fucking water?
They got it from a tap. You know some guy
yeah,
just
I know,
went
but once,
filled a
once
bowl.
Once they bless it and it's holy, what is it supposed to do?
Nothing.
Dude,
mean,
that, I can't believe that.
I mean, it's now holy water, so you put it on stuff and that becomes holy.
What does that do?
Nothing.
Are you fucking with me?
No, holy just
what
means
if I
God,
ask like someone very like Christian now?
Like you said, God, they would say, oh, it's holy, so God
yeah,
touched it.
That's it.
Some people believe that okay, holy water has like healing power. Like,
that's where my that's what I was getting at.
I mean
but that's not
but
like
that's not what it says.
Oh, okay. It's not in
it
the Bible when no, like everyone doesn't believe that.
Yeah.
They just made that a case.
Yeah, it's like everything else in this book.
Yeah.
But
they just made it up recent more recent though.
Yeah. And whatever touches
you,
them.
You know what the problem is?
What?
If you want someone to believe something, you don't write it down, you're an idiot.
That's true. Write it down and say God said it.
Yeah.
And then wait 2,000 years.
The best of the, you don't even have to wait that long. Who's Joseph Smith, the Mormon guy? Wasn't it like a couple hundred years ago?
That's hilarious.
A couple hundred, like maybe like not even. And he's like, I saw them. I only know this from South Park.
Yeah.
But he looked into a hat.
Yeah.
A magic hat.
Or like L. Ron Hubbard.
Well, he just used like classic manipulation on everybody. It's kind of genius.
That's so funny. Bill's bit about that is the best. Ron, your guy's name is Ron.
That is a good bit. Forgot about that.
Anoint. So back to the Bible, verse 30. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests.
It's so funny to me. I can't stop picturing like now you're holy, but nothing happens.
They well, it's like you believe
it's
in
so
it.
Funny
you buy
to me.
You buy into it.
Yeah,
you know,
I know, but like nothing happens.
No, no.
Even if you believe you're holy now, nothing happens.
No.
Right?
No. No.
Like, you know how people in these like churches and shit, where they go to get saved and like
yeah,
speak in tongues and shake and stuff?
Yeah.
The adrenaline hits them and they think they can walk normally again, you know?
Yeah.
It's a thing. They think they got a result. But you splash some water on somebody and then they're like, oh, I'm holy now. What's holy? Oh, nothing.
A holy.
That's it?
God likes it. It's like something
but,
that.
But doesn't he reserve? Does he even like it though?
Yeah, if it's holy, God likes it. God like whatever God does is holy.
Okay, I got a question then.
Yeah,
can I take holy water,
mm-hmm,
put it on somebody,
mm-hmm,
and then force God to like them by making them holy?
Well, that I don't think so, actually.
Because then that's what they're doing in church. Is my point? God's not picking them.
No, the funniest thing
right?
is that some guy, whoever it is, the priest or whoever,
mm-hmm,
takes his bowl, goes to a tap, turns on the tap.
That's my whole point.
Fills the bowl, and then he takes it out and he goes, this is holy water. Like, it's tap water, guy.
No, I even get that, but I can suspend disbelief that the priest made it magically holy, right? But then are you telling me that the priest is deciding who God likes?
I don't know what we don't do
because
that
because it
kind of
sounds like you're tricking people into God liking them by splashing them with holy water. God didn't do it.
Yeah.
So once you made it holy, God likes it, but he's not doing it.
No.
And then if you go to the route where you say like God's actually selecting them through the priest,
yeah,
well then if I pick up the whole thing and throw it in your fucking face,
yeah,
God did that too then.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
We didn't, I didn't go to Catholic church. So we didn't have.
Is that only Catholic?
Holy water? No. Yeah, it's a Catholic thing. Holy water.
Are they like the weird ones?
They just bless the water. They say, God bless this water, and now
just
it's
just like
holy.
The fucking cracker, but they believe they're eating flesh.
I mean, no one really believes that. Some people believe it. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you what everybody believes, Kyle.
Yeah, you can. You're closer to the dragon, you know?
Yeah. But
I want to tell you. I want to hear what it smells like.
Whatever it touches will become holy. Anoint Aaron. And consequences, so they may serve me as priests. That's it, Kyle.
That can't be it.
That's it. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for generations to come. Do not pour it on men's bodies and do not make any oil with the same formula. Ooh.
Don't pour it on men's bodies.
It is sacred.
What was happening before?
And, I mean, he's saying don't use it on anything but the stuff I just told
don't
you.
Don't pour it on men's bodies.
And don't make any yourself. No going around and, what do you call it, bootlegging this shit.
Is this like the first copyright?
Yeah, it might be. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes perfume like it and whoever puts it on anyone other than a priest must be cut off from his people.
Does this shit run out if it has to last generations?
No, they just make the same formula. But just
make it again?
Yeah, that's how... That's.
Oh, just not... Oh, okay.
I wonder if...
I thought they made one bottle.
I wonder how good
like...
that would actually smell. Somebody's got to be making it right now. Like, you know, that same formula. It's only myrrh, cinnamon, cassia, whatever that is. And fragrant cane.
What is myrrh?
Myrrh is a spice. It smells like myrrh.
You don't hear about it anymore. It can't be that good.
How
I know all this shit sucks?
Why? Because
if it was any good, people would still be using it.
Well, still, people still burn incense and steeple.
Yeah, do you think it smells like myrrh, though?
No, there's still myrrh. Myrrh still exists. It's just not that popular.
Because it sucks.
You should get myrrh, like Old Spice should make like a myrrh deodorant.
We should buy some.
Yeah, we could.
Holy shit, business venture.
We could make some of this oil.
For real, I think we should start making deodorant shit, perfume that smells like holy stuff.
Yeah.
How much money we could make?
Yeah, people are idiots. So then the Lord said...
Like, for real, though.
Someone's
probably done that.
Hey, Camilla.
Hey, Camilla, you're on the pod. You're interrupting the pod.
I'm just doing the podcast. Can I call you back? Okay, bye. You're
supposed to put it on speaker.
I mean, she just said, oh, okay, bye. That's it. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the fragrant spices, gum resin, onycha, and galbanum, and pure frankincense.
He sounds so made up.
All in equal amounts.
You know when you try to make up a word, but you just start sounding out vowels and it never really sounds good?
O-N-Y-C-H-A and then galbanum. G-A-L-B-A-N-U-M.
Like you start it and it's just a word you kind of know and then you like realize you don't know how to make up a new word. So you just start finishing it with a word you kind of know.
Yeah.
Galbanum.
Galbanum. And pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense. This is the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it into powder and place it in front of the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from his people. What a dick.
Must be cut off.
Okay, yeah, like, you know, banished. And also, like...
And also, I guarantee you other people were making this perfume, quote unquote, before he made it holy or sacred or whatever the fuck he just did. Because I can't tell the difference anymore. Holy means nothing. I know what sacred means.
Sacred and holy mean the same thing.
Apparently not.
Yeah, basically they do. Chapter 31, Bezalel.
We're back to the made-up words again.
This is a guy's name. Bezalel and...
Oh, really?
Oholiab. Oholiab.
You know how I know that name sucks?
Because no one uses it anymore. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel. I'm just going to call him Bezalel. Oh, God.
Spell it.
B-E-Z-A-L-E-L. L-E-L. Bezalel. Bezalel. Bezalel.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Bezalel.
Son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of God, with skill and ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic signs for the work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. The tribe of Dan.
This is Bible hooked on phonics.
Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the tables and articles, pure gold lampstand, its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and its utensils, the basin with its stand, And also the woven garments, both sacred garments for Aaron and the priest, and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil, fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you. The Sabbath. Okay, we're getting almost to the golden calf, which is a great story, guys. Just hang in there.
I don't know that.
Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so you may know.
What does Sabbath actually mean? I know what it is.
It's the Sunday.
Is in function?
It's the day, Sunday, the day off.
That's
seventh
it?
Day, yeah,
okay.
Sabbath. Who makes, so for generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does work on that day must be cut off.
I'm the Lord who makes you holy. Well, what does that do? Oh, nothing.
For 6 days.
Absolutely fucking nothing.
Work is to be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death.
Get the fuck out of here.
So they weren't fucking around with, no wonder.
So the Jews believe this, and they're doing the little elevator and phone tricks. Like, that doesn't count as work.
That's so funny.
That is funny.
And put to death just
That's
for
insane.
Working on Sunday?
Because I don't understand the logic on either way. I'm trying to think of it from the guy who wrote this.
Yeah.
Or God.
Yeah.
You know? How does it, neither of them make sense. I can't even pick a team here.
Yeah. Well, God.
Why would God not want them to work?
I don't know.
Why would he kill them for it?
Punishment of death is a little excessive.
Yeah. In his mind, it's equal to every other, all those sins he wrote down on a piece of stone, except for this one.
Here's where it says that. The Israelites are deserves the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. So there it is. That's when God wrote on those tablets.
Okay.
So the Ten Commandments with the Moses holding them, the famous. That,
but don't work on Sunday's not on there.
Don't work on Sunday.
You think he'd write that down if he's going to fucking kill you?
That is.
Oh, it is on there.
That's the second commandment, I think. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. But it doesn't say it punishment of death. That's like. Jesus Christ.
I guess you should probably assume that if he took the time to write it out in stone, the punishment for disobeying is probably death. Just say it.
For working on Sunday. Do you think anybody was actually put to death for that?
Hell yeah.
They like
for sure.
Some guy like what would you be doing? Like, oh, I really gotta get
it. It wasn't for that. It was an excuse to kill somebody.
Oh yeah.
But no one ever actually went, you're working today? I'm gonna fucking kill you. Yeah.
No, they might have.
Maybe. I just think you already have to not like that person.
The first
you know?
Guy to work on Sunday. What? Okay, also.
How about your neighbor? Oh, sorry.
I mean, yeah, I don't even know where I'm trying to say. Like, so they must have taken that pretty seriously for a little while. And then within 6 months, someone must have done some sort of work on Sunday.
No, dude, I think it was like witches. Like everyone kind of knew they didn't exist, but it was a cool excuse
no,
to kill a broad.
No, people believed in witches.
I don't think they did. I don't believe it. I believe they just was like, oh, I don't like this broad. She wouldn't fuck me in the woods or whatever. She's a witch.
She's a witch.
Like, so back then.
She looks like one.
Their neighbor left his grass too high all the time.
Very
so they're like, he's
rocks.
Working on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, man. What did you... You're so death row. What'd you do? Oh yeah, I murdered a guy. What'd you do? I killed somebody's cow and it fell into a pit that I dug that I didn't cover up.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do? I mowed my lawn on Sunday. The Golden Calf, chapter 32.
That's funny.
When the people saw that Moses was so long coming down from the mountain, so Moses is up on the mountain talking to God this whole time. And when that whole time, God just gave him all those measurements.
Is God feeding him?
But God also said, as I shown you up on the mountain.
Yeah, I assume he came down multiple times.
Exactly like, so back here it says exactly like the pattern I will show you. And then it said, you know.
Also, the rate at which people are climbing this mountain in their elderly age, I'm picturing a hill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm picturing a hill.
Well, it's an active volcano, if we remember correctly.
Yeah. I don't believe they're climbing that either.
No.
I believe they're near it.
So when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt,
come make us gods?
We don't know what has happened to him. So Moses has been gone for presumably a week or more.
Like, scary amount of time back then.
All the Israelites go to Aaron, his brother, and say, make us a god, because we don't think this Moses guy's coming.
Make us a new god?
Yeah. That's how long they lasted.
That's what you talked about last time.
Yeah. Moses didn't even get down from the mountain yet. They're like, he's probably never coming back. We should make a new god.
I don't believe people are this stupid.
No,
I can't.
It's ridiculous.
So, you know, as jealous as God is about other people's shit, he really feels the need to include that all the time.
Yeah.
That there's other gods.
He says,
why would he ever do that? If he's that jealous, he's like, you have another god. I'm going to kill you and whatever. You're the chosen people. You'd think if he was writing his own story, he might scratch those out, you know? He already skips over gigantic... He wipes out populations of people. Like, races.
And his chosen people can't last, like, presumably a month. Yeah, a week.
It couldn't be longer than a month. It couldn't be.
Yeah, you can't live on your own up a mountain. Well,
I mean, he couldn't live two fucking days up there.
God,
like 160.
God probably gave him some manna.
That's what I'm assuming,
too. And some water from a rock.
Some manna, which is bread.
And then so
it's so pathetic that that's what he
so Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me.
Your sons?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Their gold earrings?
So
how come you aren't wearing gold earrings?
So all
is he keeping his own gold earrings?
He says, take off all your earrings. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. That's so ridiculous.
What?
So they
he
melted down their earrings and started worshiping them.
I'm trying to grasp this in like a rational way. That can't be the whole thing.
That's
keep
it.
Going. No, I
they
don't believe it.
They got their earrings, melted them down, and said, wow, this is now a sacred holy cow.
No.
That's holy cow, by the
because
way. That's from this.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
When Aaron saw this.
Just because it was made of gold? Because gold's expensive?
No, because they wanted a god to worship.
But you have to make a god out
Meanwhile,
of gold.
Meanwhile, Aaron's the guy with the magic staff that God has. He's talked to God. He's like the real, actual, most powerful thing in the universe. Who gave him a magic stick that parted a fucking sea.
That makes you think.
Turned rivers into blood. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, yeah, I'll melt down your earrings, make you a new god. Sure.
That kind of makes you think, though, that no one's actually seen God. And they're just taking like Moses and other people's word for it.
Aaron was with Moses. Aaron has talked directly to God.
And he's talked directly to God too.
Yeah.
That is so infuriating.
That's so dumb.
What am I supposed to do with that? Like, how do I take that in context of the rest of the book and be like,
I don't know.
How do people get past this and rationalize it? Like, for real, this is worse than everything else. It's the worst part. Because you're supposed to believe that they have that. I was going to say integrity, but I don't know what it is. Like, they seem terrified of him, right?
Yeah.
But then give it a week of not seeing him, they're like, he doesn't exist anymore.
Melt down my earrings. We'll worship that.
Like, why not just worship a person? Like, if Aaron was like... I know, I keep doing it because of you. Aaron. If he was like, I am God now, I'd be like, that makes perfect sense. Human beings have been doing that forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone wants to be important.
I can't believe the guy who actually talks to God willingly goes, okay, I'll melt down your rings and worship it.
Is cow like...
I don't know.
Is it the best livestock to have at least?
It's not even an adult cow. It's a calf. It's like a baby cow.
Yeah, but veal's the shit.
When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord.
When he saw what?
When Aaron
his
saw...
Own, when his, he saw his own god that he created?
Yeah.
He made an altar for his own god. The fact that he believes it is even worse. He believed he crafted a god from gold.
Yeah.
That it's a cow.
Yeah.
They can't talk or do anything but be shiny, I'm assuming.
Tomorrow there will be a festival to the
Lord. I like
Lord.
The idea that he created it, right?
So
fell asleep. I woke up the next day and went, oh my God! Does anyone else see this shit? There's a God right there!
So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings.
Why, though?
Afterward, they sat down.
Did the count demand that? Did it? Because the only reason they're doing it before is because God made them.
Yeah. So they actually got some of their expensive stuff that they wanted.
That's funny.
And burnt it for the gold calf.
What if they burnt, like, cow?
Yeah. They probably did. That's probably exactly what they did. They burnt cows.
There's
and
no
rams,
fucking
like
way.
Exactly like God ordered them to in the last chapter.
Is this why Muslim people are really, is cow sacred to them?
No, that's those are Hindus, I think.
Is it Hindu?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Does this have anything to do with it?
No.
What is the Hindu religious text?
Krishna or something. Maybe we'll do that if we ever get through this stupid Bible.
We'll get through it.
Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink.
I fucking love this. Like, the dumbest... I can't fucking believe it. The best part is listening to people who are talking 100% sincere about the legitimacy of every word in this book. I want to just underline, highlight. I'm going to get a fucking highlighter.
We're 140 pages in.
We're going to start highlighting. We're going to start highlighting. It's fucking insane.
Then the Lord. So afterward, they said.
They probably just brush by it, honestly. Go, oh, yeah, they fucked up. They're in the desert for a while.
I mean, it's incredible.
Like, the fact that people believe this 2,000 years later, and they didn't even believe it a week later.
It
took a fucking week, and people are still believing it thousands of years later, when the people who are apparently in it and around it and wrote it, a week, weren't convinced that any of the shit that happened was of any significance to their life anymore. A week later.
It's pretty funny.
I mean, he hasn't done anything that cool.
No. He has.
Except for, like, parting the whatever.
Turning the Nile into blood and parting the sea and a cloud and water from the rock.
But I feel like the parting the sea one is the only one that people could, like, see.
The plagues in Egypt, they
themselves.
Must have seen.
No, they get to see them, but they don't see God doing it.
Yeah. It's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas if he's parting a fucking river, you're never going to see that again. A lot of frogs, you might see that again. That's all I'm saying. You might see a bunch of frogs, and God might not have done it this time, you know?
So after they burnt these offerings, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. So they're like, wow.
They're really proud of themselves. It's fucking embarrassing.
Then the Lord said to Moses, go
it's
down.
Embarrassing. I can't believe there's anything this stupid. Oh, fuck.
Then the Lord said to Moses.
Because it goes against everything. It's funny to go like, look what people believe back in the day, but they don't even believe it.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what to feel anymore.
The Lord said to Moses, go down to your people whom you've brought up out of Egypt. They have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I have commanded them and have made for themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf.
For sure people say the devil did this then, right?
I don't.
Is the devil in the Bible the whole time? Does he exist throughout the whole Bible?
We haven't met the devil yet.
I know that. But throughout the Bible, like, is the story of the devil predate the Bible? Even though it's written in the Bible, I understand that. But does it predate it? So are you to assume that the Bible exists throughout all of this time? The devil, I mean, sorry.
I think you're supposed to assume that.
Because it didn't exist Adam and Eve, right?
No, he doesn't.
For sure
there's
not.
There's the serpent, right?
Yeah.
The crafty of the animals. People say that's the devil.
People have, yeah.
And what?
It's not
the devil.
Right?
It's just some snake just that smart, God put there.
Just a smart snake.
To trick Eve.
I like the idea of all animals being as smart as humans. One point.
They've got to be as smart as these idiots.
Yeah. Fuck.
They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and made for themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it. And have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. They melted down their earrings and said, this is what got us out of Egypt. This thing that we just made.
Are we confusing, like, the words? Maybe God just meant statue back in the day. Maybe it's like a commemoration of all the hard work they just did.
I don't think so. I think they literally believe that they created a deity. I have seen these people.
I don't believe that.
The Lord said to Moses, they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation.
After I kill all these people.
That's what God says.
Because they have a stiff neck.
But Moses sought favor. I think that means stubborn.
Yeah,
obviously. But Moses sought favor from the Lord his God. O Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with the evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people.
Wait, is he backing them up saying, they think you tried to kill them? Is that what he's saying?
He's saying, people, you know what people are going to say? You brought them out of Egypt to kill them
in the desert.
Yeah. So he's like, think about how this will look to the rest of the world. You got to do some PR here, God.
Oh, because he's gonna kill them right now?
God's going to kill all the Israelites.
Because they worshiped a false idol.
Yeah.
I get that, I guess.
Turn from your fierce anger.
Dude, I would kill them out of pure anger at how fucking stupid they were.
Yeah.
Like, if I was a god and I kept appearing to them and doing magical shit, then I was gone for a week and they made a new god equal or better to me.
And burnt
themselves?
Stuff. And burnt their stuff.
Yeah, like, I know.
They killed things and burnt it to the idol that they made.
Do you think God started smelling it and was like, wait.
That's the same.
I didn't ask him.
Yeah. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self. Remember, God swore by himself.
Uh-huh.
I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Now, this is an example of God
being merciful, changing
his mind. Mm-hmm. So, people say that's one of like the reasons that they think prayer works, because you can change God's minds. But also, God knows everything that's going to happen, and your names are written in the book of life.
I fucking forgot about that.
So does God really change his mind, or did he know he was going to change his mind?
He doesn't change his mind then. Absolutely not.
Well, it says there.
He's an actor. He's an actor in his own play.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
And Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. These tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There's the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. So these people are holding hands, dancing around the calf they made. His anger burned, and
Think they just picked a calf because they didn't have a lot of gold?
I mean, all they had was earrings. How many people's earrings do you think it would take to make a calf? Like, do you think it was the size of like 2 feet or like 5 feet? Like, it's got to be.
I'm thinking like a foot, like a mantle.
Yeah, like a little tiny little calf.
That's what I'm picturing.
That they're killing and burning things to. So hilarious.
Doesn't make it any better how big it is, honestly.
I mean, if you had a giant 50-foot fucking calf and you're like, look at this god I made. I mean, at least be impressive.
Yeah, true.
Like, if you're worshiping something the size of the book I'm reading, like, wow.
I don't know. It's a pretty important book, though.
And he burnt. They saw the calf and the dancing. His anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain. So God
smashed the rules?
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments?
Yeah. That's what he did. He got so mad, he broke the stuff that God made.
Oh, Moses did.
Moses did this.
So that makes no sense.
Well, now he has an excuse for why. They're like, so let's see these tablets that God said you wrote on. Then he just smacked. Oh, I broke him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
That's what happened?
Yeah.
So he shattered him into it's rock. You can put that back together. It's going to crack into like two pieces.
He didn't have super glue back
per
then.
Per tablet. You can hold them near each other and figure it out.
And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire.
Dude, if you give me a sentence and take two words out, I'm going to be able to pick with like 95% accuracy what those words are.
Yep. And he took the calf they made and burned it in a fire. Then he ground it into powder and scattered it on the water and made the Israelites drink it.
Gold?
Yep. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" "Do not be angry, my lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So I told him, "Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off." And they gave it to me, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. Exclamation point.
Oh, so what they're saying is they just chuck gold in the fire. But did they say they worked it with tools?
Yeah. He's basically
he's lying to him right now.
He's basically going, and I don't even know what happened. They asked for it. I burned it down. I made it. And, oh, my God. I can't believe it.
He pocketed some of that gold.
I mean, probably.
You know he did.
The people drank it. Do you think they were like straining out their piss for gold flakes? I actually, you know what I did once? Well, you know that booze Goldschläger?
Mm-hmm.
I poured it all through
a strainer
and saved the gold. My plan was to save enough gold to maybe buy a bottle of Goldschläger. It's worthless.
It's gold leaf.
And very sticky. Yeah, it's not worth your time.
No. Gold leaf is worth like a dollar.
I had when I was like 19. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughing stock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor."
What?
So, all right, who likes the real God? All the Levites go over there, get a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Now go back to the camp and kill your neighbors and brothers and friends.
And who's saying that? Moses,
Moses says
saying
this to the Levites.
To the Levites. Who the fuck are the Levites again?
The Levites, so Israel's in 12 tribes. Israel had 12 sons, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. each one becomes a tribe.
So he's
going to
kill 11 tribes?
So this is the descendants of Levi, yeah.
So the 11 other tribes didn't go with Moses
and
on his...
Levi and who was the other guy that went into the town? The first act of Israel when they said, all right, go cut off your foreskins, and then they killed the whole town.
Oh, right.
So the descendants of that guy, the Levites did as Moses commanded, and... That day, about 3,000 of the people died.
Holy shit, they massacred them.
Their own people for worshiping a cow because God told them to.
Did he give any other tribes
imagine?
A choice, by the way?
He said, he went to the front of the camp and said, who's worshiping the Lord? Only the Levites showed up. And then they killed 3,000 people. Fuck.
Everyone else.
That says 3,000 people.
So these lineages, are they gone?
I mean,
for the rest of the people or no?
Presumably, yeah.
That seems like 3,000 people back
then? And people you know. Could you
Your
imagine?
Friends.
Yeah. Could you imagine that?
I mean, every day.
Yeah.
Imagining it right now.
Who would do that? This is like the most crazy shit. Like to actually believe that this preposterone story
See,
happened.
See, that makes more sense. So I don't even have a problem with that. Because if they think God is real,
yeah,
you know, they're going to be like, yeah, well, look what he already made us do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would.
What's worse than that?
I wouldn't want to get on God's bad side, but I also wouldn't make my earrings into a cow and start worshiping it.
Did they do it too, though?
Yeah, the Levites did it too. Presumably,
are you sure? Because it doesn't say that
they didn't.
Doesn't say.
It's true.
It says that they're the only ones. Well,
all the Israelites were sitting around dancing around this cow, laughing and having a good time.
Yeah, but they were like, "I'm still with God," and everyone else was like, "I'm not anymore." So presumably they were like
cow.
Resisting the cow thing, you would assume.
Hopefully
they're the only people that came back
again.
They had
signs and protests. Not my cow. I don't believe in this cow. You have to set apart. So 3,000 people died.
Like how immediately after, like how it's been like a week tops, maybe even a couple days, depending on the timeline from making the cow to Moses coming back down. And they're already lying about its origin.
Yeah.
That's how you know you can't believe anything in this book. You know what I mean? And would it take them 2 days to be like, yeah, the cow, we just threw gold in there and it came out a cow from literally admitting that they made it with tools.
It's so hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Mary was a virgin. Sure.
You have been.
You know?
That's like more believable. I mean, maybe the same believable. I mean, it's like
it's pregnant.
At least a better miracle than like this is. God didn't show up. They make a cow, worship it, and kill 3,000 people that they used to know. They're friends, like with a sword. That's personal. That's not like shooting people with guns. That's like going up and stabbing. Why? Screaming, blood, crying.
Why? Because of the cow.
Yeah. And all across they're just walking through the camp from one end to the other.
Is word not getting out?
And also.
You think people would be screaming and running around, you know?
Screaming, like It'd be so disgusting and violent. There'd be blood everywhere.
I was
going
to say, why don't you just run away? But you're in the desert. You can't run. You die anyways.
It's crazy. No one fought back, I guess. There seems like it should have been a civil war.
They're all praying to the cow in the moment.
Then Moses said, so 3,000 people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day.
Because you did that?
Yeah.
Because you killed your family?
Yeah. Yeah. The next day, Moses said to all the people, you have committed
a great sin. And now you're blessed and probably holy.
The next day. So the next day, there's still bodies everywhere. They didn't, they don't have to dig a giant pit or burn them or let them rot.
They probably burn them, eh?
Who knows what they like? How would they do? Like, how do you get rid of 3,000 bodies? The next day,
you don't. You know what you do? You move camp.
Yeah,
for sure. You just move camp.
The next day, Moses said, "You have committed a great sin.
You're going to get like coyotes or something, you know."
But now I will go up to the Lord and make atonement for your sin. Moses went back to the Lord.
He said they committed a sin.
Yeah,
for doing what God says.
No. For worshiping the calf, that's the great sin.
Oh, okay. Not the killing of the brothers. No, that was good.
That was good. God blessed you for that.
Okay.
So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They had made from themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. That's the book of life. Then the Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, leave.
Fuck, really?
Yep.
He's going to kill them anyways?
No, worse than that. That's eternal. The book of life is forever. So that's like eternal damnation, not just your one life.
Holy fuck. I thought the book of life was like how we read everyone's futures and stuff.
No, your name's in or not in the book of life. So yeah. I guess you could have been in, and he blotted your name out.
Yeah.
He didn't have an eraser, but he just had to write over it.
Just scribbled it?
Yeah, it says blot out. Now go lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin. And the Lord struck the people with a plague. So first they killed 3,000 people. Now they have a plague because of what they did with the calf that Aaron had made. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments, because they burned them all and made them into a god. For the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments. Well, they didn't even put them on.
Nope.
And I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. That's the story of the golden calf.
That's it? They just took their jewelry off that they never had on in the first place at the end?
That's what it says. Are we, how are we doing for time?
We're going to keep going.
The tent of meeting. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped at each entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent.
Because he wanted to see if he was actually talking to God?
That's just what it says.
So this guy just watched him talk to God face to face?
Yeah.
So God is a face.
Like as someone did with a friend, like me and you right now.
Yeah. So God is a face.
I can't believe that they were that close to God and would even consider making a stupid idol and then kill themselves.
Well, that's why it clearly... There's something missing, you know? There's something missing in that.
Critical thinking of anyone who reads it?
It can't be. Yeah, well, that. No one reads it. We've established this.
Moses, yeah, that's why we're doing it. And isn't it hilarious?
It's insane. It feels like there's a chapter missing in between those two things. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like immediately they turn in it, but as a human being that's seen other human beings from afar, I don't believe that. You could forget in like a week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Moses, or even like a year.
I mean,
like, they're terrified of this guy, this being, whatever. Yeah. They're terrified. They write it like they're in fear all the time. But he loves me.
Yeah. It's
but
so...
as soon as he leaves, they break one of... did they know the commandments yet?
Yeah.
They knew them, right?
Yeah.
You just didn't write them in stone yet.
They knew them.
Yeah.
Moses said to the Lord, or maybe they... You know what? This is all written after the fact. So maybe this is like Moses is up there.
Maybe he made this commandment because of the cow.
Probably. Because of the cow. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses.
That's a valid point.
Yeah. I mean.
Our long noses? Is that enough?
Yeah, like, still, that God should really be with them now, or else how do we know? Because they're.
Right?
Does. You know,
so far you've taken us into a desert to die.
And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this very thing because I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now go show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy."
What does that mean? I'll say I'm God in your presence.
Yeah.
What does that do?
You know, it doesn't really do anything.
It has to do something. You can't say something with significance and then it has to.
I'll say my name in
because
front of
why is he happy for that? Why is he happy for that thing to happen? Why is he glad that God's doing that if nothing happens?
I mean, it's God showing his glory.
Yeah, but he's been
talking
to him the whole time. And then he's like, "Here, I'll do you a favor.
I'll say
I'm God." And then nothing happens. Get the fuck out of here.
It's true.
That can't be. That can't be.
I mean, I'll ask my dad about it, but I don't think I'll say my name in your presence. Maybe like when he says,
"Dude, I'm gonna have to re-listen all the fucking podcasts now." But I'm gonna start writing down all these questions because we need to call people.
Yeah,
for real. That are experts in this. I need an answer. I can't have no answer for these things. That makes no sense.
What do you think happens?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. I can't even rationalize anything. He just says I'm God and then everyone's happy. Why are they happy that he did that? I get why he would do that because he's a douche or whatever. But why is Moses like, "Oh, good. He finally went, oh, now I can sleep tonight." Because he said he was God again, even though I've known that. He's been saying it over and over again.
I've talked
for
to
like
him.
The last 8 chapters. He won't shut the fuck up about it. Oh, but I heard it one more time. And he says it like he's doing him a favor. Oh, it bugs me.
And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name."
I don't know what that means either. All my goodness to pass. Like, I'll show you I'm good?
I think that it means you'll have good stuff. Good, like, you're going to the land of milk
just
and honey.
Pass in front of you, so I'll just show it to you?
I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That makes no sense.
I'll just do whatever I want. It's pretty much what he just said.
But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live."
Oh, so he's not talking to him face to face.
It like, says.
No, he's not.
No, it does. Right here. Verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live."
Oh, fuck. I need to ask somebody who...
That's on the same page.
I'm going to need to talk to somebody who's either like a scholar on one side who's going to give me like an answer, or someone who believes this shit vehemently. Like... is like a super strict, everything is true. I need answers. I want to hear how that person's brain rationalizes it. You know? I want to get a little cow statue, put it in front of him, not say anything. Just look at him. See what he does. Oh. Like a dog. You put you in front of a dog for the first time, and they go, well, they just get confused. I want to see that.
The Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Do you want to read some more?
Yeah.
The new stone tablets. Then the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write.
Oh my God! This is the Joseph Smith thing, too! Yeah. He just stole it from the Bible.
Yeah.
Where he was like, he wrote out the things.
Yeah.
And then they were like, someone stole them and said, well, do it again. He's like, well, those aren't, I can't do them the same. Yeah. Like, yeah, so he just gets to make up whatever he wants.
Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that
That's
were on the first tablets.
Crazy.
Which you
I
broke.
Didn't know this.
Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain.
It would be funny if he was up there for like a week, hand chiseling these stones.
And then another
cow. Came down and was so mad he broke them. And then he had to go up and do it again.
So Moses chiseled out two
stones. See, I misunderstood. I thought you were going to say Moses. Oh, Moses is chiseling them.
Yeah, he chiseled out two stone tablets.
Okay,
like the first
that's
one.
What I thought.
And went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord
Why would he have to
him.
Go up there if he chiseled them out?
And God,
the tablets.
Yeah, God wants.
Because God can write in them, but he can't cut out his own stone tablets.
No, he just wanted Moses to do it.
As a punishment.
And the Lord commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord.
Okay.
I am the Lord.
When I move past it, I'm not going to do it again, but.
And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. Really? Slow to anger? Didn't you just flip out and tell them to massacre 3,000
3,000 people.
Gracious God, slow to anger.
He thinks he's just.
He's killed a whole bunch of Egyptians. He's smitten. Oh, my God. Slow to anger. Abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.
It's really funny that he just does one thing and says the exact opposite.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes.
You could call him Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. That sounds real nice. Abounding in love. In faithfulness, punishing your kids and your kids' kids' kids.
Isn't there a thing in this?
That's in the same sentence.
It's fucking crazy.
Or no, different sentence, same paragraph.
Whatever. Is there a thing in Christianity where kids are born pure, though?
No, people made that up later. Because they're like, what happens when a baby dies? They're like, oh, babies go to heaven because babies haven't sinned yet. So,
who has that joke about hell being littered with fetuses? Like they're everywhere, and you're just stepping on them because there's billions of fetuses everywhere you go.
I mean, there's got to be
because they don't get blessed or whatever.
Dude, I love this, man. Slow to anger, abounding in love, maintaining.
I love how he just says exactly the opposite of what he does.
Yeah, I know.
It's great.
Forgiving wickedness and rebellion, but he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Does he forgive them or does he punish them? Which is it?
Punish. It's punish for sure.
No, but he's like right there, like. He does forgiving wickedness, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished.
So what about this? Do people believe that God will forgive them for all the sins that they do? What if any of this, does it happen later?
Well, later Jesus dies on the cross, thereby taking all of our sin on himself.
Then why do people have to go to confession if they're Catholic? If God already took your sins.
That's a tool to control people, but...
Yeah, I know, but what is...
I don't know why, because you have to confess and then say Hail Marys, and then you're...
But then what if I was just go to Catholic Church and be like, no, Jesus already died for my sins. I can do all the sins I want. Jesus died for them.
I think that makes sense, and you could say that.
Because everyone up to this point had to do shit for their sins, burn animals, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But then Jesus dies later for everyone's sins, but people are still like, I still have to do stuff?
It makes no sense,
dude. What is a Hail Mary? While we're at it.
Hail Mary's like a Hail Mary
full of grace.
Yes.
But what is it? What is it?
It's just a mantra that people chant. It's like a prayer.
And why do they give you like multiple? What do you have to say it a certain amount of times? Like more for how bad you are.
Yeah, they know that it sucks and it's boring. So they make you do it so that you presumably will sin
but
less.
That's real reason. I want to hear their explanation, you know?
Okay, well, you'd have to ask them because I don't believe in any of this crap.
I feel like you do a little bit. You know?
Moses bowed.
It's still in ya.
Moses bowed down to the ground at once and worshipped. "Oh Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes," he said, "then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." Then the Lord said, "I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you." I'm going to do some badass shit.
Yep.
People are going to be like, "That's fucking badass." "Obey what I have
badass
commanded
dude.
You. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the
Jebusites."
Aren't
they all dead?
No, he's going to do it. He hasn't done it yet.
Done what?
Driven those people out of their lands. Because he's a nice guy, abounding in love. He's going to drive out just all these tribes and kill them. And then he's going to punish their children for four generations. This is some of the dumbest shit. "Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you." So don't even make peace with these people.
Like, don't be even nice to them.
No. "Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles."
Is that why those Hasidic Jews have like their own like area? Because they're like strict. They're like insanely Bible strict, right?
I think so.
Hasids. So they're like, apparently, I don't live in New York, but I heard from other podcasts that like people live in New York that they won't even look at you.
Yeah, they're like real keep to themselves.
They won't even fucking look at you because they think you're one of these other people that you're not supposed to associate with. That makes perfect fucking sense.
"Do not worship any..."
You know what?
Other God.
I don't even disrespect that now. I kind of respect it.
Yeah.
Like, might as well go all out.
If
this is real,
yeah.
Do you want that shit to happen to you?
No, you'll die.
I respect him. Yeah, I am. According to them, I understand why I'm a piece of garbage then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just by name of not being them, I am. Yeah. Well, regardless of all the horrible things I've done.
"Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous god."
Oh my God, is he jealous?
His name is Jealous with a capital J, it says here.
They capitalized Jealous?
Yeah.
So that's one of his,
one of
actual
the names,
is Jealous.
Yeah.
That's fucking funny.
Your eyebrows are so high. "Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land. For when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. Do not make cast idols. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast." 16, "as I commanded you. Do this."
Are they eating bread with yeast the rest of the time?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't risk it ever. "Do this."
It seems like it's only temporary periods, but what the hell do I know?
I mean, he keeps saying for these 7 days, make bread without yeast.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I think you're allowed because that person who mailed in said it's only that 1 week where they get all the yeast out of the building, right?
Yeah.
And cover everything in plastic.
Yeah, true.
"Do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for that is the month you came out of Egypt. The first offering of every womb belongs to me, including all the firstborn males of your livestock, whether from herd or flock. Redeem the firstborn donkey with a lamb."
You have to kill them?
"But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem all your firstborn sons."
What does redeem mean? In this context?
I think...
Because it sounded violent until he said your firstborn sons. He's not going to make them kill his firstborn sons.
Well, it says redeem a donkey with a lamb. So kill a lamb every time a donkey's born. And then cut your son's foreskins off. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I would read that as sacrifice your firstborn sons.
That's what I read it as, too, but there's no way.
People don't do that.
Yeah, but it can't mean that because he likes the firstborn sons, too.
I think it maybe kill an animal before it.
Maybe that.
"So no one is
it
to
did
appear."
Kind of read like murder in your first month.
Yeah, it did. "No one is to appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall..." Like, we get it. "Even the plowing season and the harvest you must rest. Celebrate the feast of weeks with the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the turn of the year. 3 times a year all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your territory, and no one will covet your land when you go up three times each year. To appear before the Lord your God.
Up where? Up the mountain?
I don't know what that means.
No one will do. Can you read that one more time?
I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your territory, and no one will covet your land when you go up three times each year to appear before the Lord your God.
So you have to walk up this fucking mountain three times a year, and he promises no one will steal your shit.
Yeah, but I feel like he can't promise that no one will covet your land, because that happens all the time. And also, they
don't believe in you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't even believe you exist. Like, they're going to follow your rules.
Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast. 17. Mm-hmm. And do not let any of the sacrifice.
It's the first thing. You know what? So the other day, a Bible guy came to this house, right? But I was just too busy doing something that I couldn't put up with his shit.
Yeah.
And they were all nice. They put on those big fake smiles, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm just trying to healthy families, whatever. And I want to be like, I didn't have time. So I was like, fuck it. And I didn't bother. Because I know I'm just bugging this dude. I know he's not going to have a real
he's
answer.
He's bugging you.
I know that.
He's coming to your house. You are entitled to be rude to that guy.
I understand that. I wasn't even going to be rude. I just wanted to be like, so you know this book pretty well. I was going to start with that. And he was going to say yes. And I'm like, I need some answers. I'm reading it. And he mentions about 15 times. And 17. I'm not even a tenth. 17. I'm in the fucking, not even a tenth of the way through, not to eat yeast. Does he ever explain why? Ever. Is there any fucking reason? I was gonna make this guy tell me. We had kids with him and stuff.
No, you should have done it.
I know.
Should have done it.
Would have been a good story.
You did get to bore the shit out of me with that, though. That's something.
What?
Did you not? Cool non-story.
Oh, yeah. No, nothing happened. I thought about doing something, though, and then didn't do it.
Anything with yeast, and do not let the sacrifice from Passover feast remain until morning. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Like,
how often are they cooking shit in milk? I guess they don't have a lot of flavorful liquids. Probably all the time.
I don't know. Man, this started out like the new stone tablets, and now God's just repeating. I guess he's saying all the stuff that he said before.
I guess, yeah. So I've heard that like multiple times.
Dude, could you slow down? I've got to chisel this while you're talking. Like,
wait, I thought God was writing with his finger again.
No, he made Moses chisel it out.
Because he smashed him.
Yeah.
So convenient.
Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote on tablets the words of the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So that's that. The radiant face of Moses. Do we have time for this?
We don't. That's the end.
Okay.
The end for tonight.
So what'd you learn today there, Kyle?
I learned that I'm going to get a lot more frustrated than I thought reading this fucking book. Because when you read something, I can play by the rules that they tell me.
Sure.
But as soon as they go back on them constantly and there's no rational explanation or reason I can even think of, it's really pissing me off. There's no way you could. How could. How could you bring this up to somebody and have them give you any reasonable response?
That's a very good question. I'm gonna go directly home and ask.
You
my
need
dad.
To. I need an answer. I need something.
Yeah, no.
I need some bullshit that they can wrap their. I need anything.
Oh man, I love my favorite part was I am a loving and generous God, but I will punish you to four generations and make you kill your sons and brothers.
Right after he killed 3,000 people.
I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm a nice guy. We get any emails this week, Kyle?
We did. Got one from Evan.
Cool.
Ex-Mormon dude.
Oh, cool.
Remember him from earlier. Hey, guys, this is Evan again. You know, the ex-Mormon dude who said God and the devil were secretly each other.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've written you guys, but I've listened to each episode twice. But I'm not as badass as Jeff to write you guys so much.
Thanks.
Thanks for the effort anyways. We appreciate it. I did, however, stop listening to the other podcasts as you commanded. Hell yeah. Number one fan now. I like this guy. I like Evan. As for emails, I got too much shit to do. We respect that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Respect that. As long as you stop listening to other episodes and spread the word.
Yeah, tell five people.
Can't be
people.
Bothered. No one has as much free time as Jeff does. Okay? He puts down the controller a couple times a week to write us an email. We appreciate it. So, okay, so the Red Sea thing that's been bothering me. The Red Sea is hundreds of feet deep with rocky shelves.
Yeah.
If Moses tried to split that thing, you would have all of the animals, the elderly, and all the kids carrying their shit.
Yeah.
Gold, smelting equipment, friggin' cows, he says. You are Mormon, Jesus Christ.
You can say fucking on our podcast.
That's okay, he's Mormon, though. Scaling down a goddamn mountain to the seabed. This is happening while a hurricane-level wind passes through the sea, splitting it in half. No way that old Moses and Aaron is rappelling down this environment. Although it is totally like God to throw a bunch of people off a cliff with wind. Does he do that?
No, he makes... I mean, you make a good point. I was thinking the same thing, because it's not going to be like a uniform slope.
I was picturing a uniform slope, but for sure not.
You know, there's going to be like walls and drop-offs.
I pictured like a sand slide, you know, where they would just slide down.
Yeah, it's absolutely preposterony that anyone believes that that happened.
Dude, if he split it, he can make steps. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you just have to go full miracle at that point.
Exactly.
And just be like, oh, yeah, he also smoothed it out, but they just didn't write that down.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I've been told the Red Sea is actually supposed to be the Reed Sea, which is by Egypt, shallow and could fuck up the wheels of a pharaoh's chariot. It supposedly gets winds that open up these sandbars with reeds once in a while. It's still bullshit, but more believable. Also, you got something there?
No, the people who like rationalize the Bible, like the pick either it's completely a miracle or it never happened. Like,
see, that doesn't even bother me that much. The whole thing's a miracle. Fine. God did it and he's all powerful. Fine.
But I love people try to explain it with science. No, it's actually possible. There's a sea nearby with it gets pretty windy and it's only up to your knees.
Yeah, the rocks would probably like break the chariot's wheels when they tried to go through. So also, it didn't say everyone died. It did say everyone died. So not only did it have to break their wheels, they also wouldn't be able to keep walking.
They were drowned and then washed up on shore.
Yeah, it also said that. Also, this tent stuff is really important to Mormons. Oh, really? Fuck. That breastplate of decision-making has its own lore because of a stone called Urim and Thummim.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Is it?
I mean, it's got to be. Urim and Thummim, dwarves from under the mountain.
Thummim.
That sounds like dwarves from under the mountain.
It really does. Joseph Smith supposedly used a breastplate of decisions to translate the Book of Mormon. No fucking way! That's awesome. Also, we had to go through these chapters in church and find spiritual meaning from it. The tent designs. Spiritual meaning from it.
From the tent designs.
From the tent designs. Also, they don't have metal music. They don't.
No.
I knew it. We have Donny Osmond, Gladys Knight, and David Archuleta.
David Arquette?
No, Archuleta. Archuleta.
Cool.
Don't know who that is. Mormons are softcore. Yeah, we knew that. Finally, for one, I don't think that Kyle interrupts too much at all. Fuck yeah, Evan. I love this guy. New number one fan.
Evan, you pandering asshole.
Evan is the shit. His timing is off sometimes. Oh, we can't all be perfect. But man, he comes up with some interesting ideas of the Bible.
It's true. You do really have a unique take on it.
I used to be an apologist, and I haven't hit any of the gold mines that this guy has hit with one reading. Wow, thanks, Evan. Really jerking me off here.
The funny thing, like, an apologist is somebody who goes around like...
Yeah, I know it's the opposite of what he meant.
I know.
But I'm just...
No, but that's what an apologist is, but it sounds like you're saying sorry.
Yeah.
Like, actually, you're refuting disbelievers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
I was wrong.
A Bible apologist is someone that's like, no, this really happened. There could have been a Red Sea that was shallower, that wasn't...
That is what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it is someone that like makes excuses for the Bible, apologizes for it. Yeah, okay. I would like to... I haven't hit one rating. I would like to hear more from Caleb and the insane lessons in church that you get when you read a part of the Bible through. I think we have established that they don't really read it through, right?
I mean, they do. They pick...
Do they really?
Okay, not all churches do this. Most pastors pick a little verse and they say...
That's what I thought.
Something like... Like a nice verse. That's
like a lesson that they're trying to teach you for the day, right?
And later in like Proverbs and stuff like that, there's some good advice in here.
Oh, I'm sure.
But rarely do they actually read through the whole Bible and talk about all this crazy parts, because everyone would be like, that's ridiculous. You actually believe that?
Okay, Evan, I would like to know if they read through the
Book of Mormon.
The Book of Mormon all the way through. And do they really rationalize all that?
Yeah.
I would like to know that. They must. Write us back. I'm really curious, because I wanted... We're definitely getting to the Mormon.
Yeah.
We're going to probably do Koran eventually, and then Mormon.
The
we'll
Koran's
see.
Hard to read. I found a copy of it. I was reading it.
Is it really unlegible?
I mean,
illegible?
It's less legible. I mean, they got to
have a lot
like,
of these and thys. There's probably someone that made like a readable copy.
Yeah. This is called the New International Version of the Bible.
Yeah.
Like the King James is like unbearable.
Someone has whitewashed it, you know, for hipsters nowadays that... Yeah. Want to be religious, but don't like Christianity? That's for sure a thing. I don't even know if that's true, but that definitely exists.
I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual.
Yeah, and also I only read the Koran. Kyle has very little context about Christian belief, and some of your funniest moments come from as Kyle is dumbfounded that Abraham murdering Isaac is celebrated as being holy as fuck, or how the leaven is supposed to be a hypocrisy. That does unbelievably bother me. You have no idea. It infuriates me. I think about it when I'm not on this podcast. I'm not even joking. You guys work so well together because you come from two different perspectives. So interrupt away, Kyle. It's great. Sincerely, Evan.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks for writing in.
Really appreciate it. Love that email, Evan.
I'm definitely going to ask my dad about some of this shit tonight. And I can't imagine what he'll say.
Don't hold me to this, but I'm going to try and get interviews with some prominent religious, at least.
Who do you know? I know so many more.
No, I don't know. I'm going to start working on people who do these small talks and they can get 15 minutes at a time to answer.
There's
got to
be a Christian podcast out there that would have us on as guests.
I don't even want that. I want a scholar that can actually give me a fucking rational answer. I would like to hear their bullshit rationality that they come up with on their own while they're panicking while we ask them this.
Yeah.
Also like to hear that. But... You know, I kind of want
to... Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished, to the third and fourth generation. I can't... That's in the same paragraph. That's infuriating.
That's great.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, guys. That's it for us. We'll be back next Monday, as per usual.
Go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Even if you're not on iTunes, if it's not how you listen to it, it helps... us the most if you go to iTunes and give us a rating. It helps us go up
does
the scales.
It, really?
It does. It pushes up the iTunes scales. It's the best thing you can do for us right now. No, we appreciate it.
Telling people's the best
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, tell five people. I meant for ratings wise. Okay. iTunes is. Go out, tell five people. Stop listening to other podcasts. We're the one true podcast. Peace.